This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, it is hour number three. Thanks for joining us as we continue with the Wake Up Call on SportsMap Radio, top five, bottom five, now that we are done with week 10 in the NFL, thanks to Monday night's win by the San Francisco 49ers. How will that affect top five, bottom five? Well, we'll see. We also got Scott Petrick joining us from the Chronicle Telegram. We're going to talk about the Browns. The Browns are sitting at 5-5, and that's not a bad record, right? It's 5-5. You're still in the hunt. The division leader Baltimore is at 6-3, so it's 5-5. But why does it feel different? What were the expectations coming into the season, especially after a playoff run last year where they beat the Pittsburgh Steelers and kind of played Kansas City, even though Chad Henne was quarterbacking, played them tough? There was a lot of high expectations for the Browns this season, because remember, and this is something we've always talked about with the Browns, they're not the Browns that you may have remembered from the 80s with Bernie Kosar. That team is in Baltimore. This is an expansion team that came around in 1999. So this is 20-plus years of this expansion franchise that has been absolutely miserable. I mean, just terrible, and hardly ever made the playoffs, never had really a winning record, went through all of these quarterbacks within its history since its re-arrival into the National Football League. And I think if you're a fan of this team, it's got to be frustrating, because to see teams who have come into the league and done well, fall back, do well again. I mean, some teams have gone through cycles of mediocrity to Super Bowls, to back to mediocrity, to back to playoffs. And in the 20 plus years, the Browns have just remained sort of this steady, just level of garbage. But now the expectations were, maybe we've turned the corner. We have the right coach. Do we have the right quarterback? It feels like it. We were signing these players and adding elements to the team to make us competitive. And at 5-5, that's at 500, right? It's either the glass is half empty or the glass is half full. Where are they? So we're going to sort of sort that out. And why didn't OBJ work out in Cleveland? What were the details of that? Well, we've got all that coming up. But the top five of the National Football League hasn't been quite as easy as it has been in years past. How do we sort it out? We have that for you next. You can hit us up on Twitter as well, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's, with your top five and bottom five of the NFL as we roll along on Sports Map Radio.
Is in the building.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Oh, you know it. You love it. It is top five, bottom five. We go through the teams in the National Football League and tell you who we like and who we're just kind of laughing at behind their backs. It's what Ron and I do every single Tuesday once the completion of the season's over, or if one of us is out, then we do it on Wednesday or Thursday or whenever we get together again. All right, are you ready for the 5-1 top five of the National Football League?
Not really.
Yeah, I know. It was difficult.
Full disclaimer, I don't feel comfortable.
I'm with you. I kind of feel like I got to switch some things out, and I'm leaving some teams out that I shouldn't be punishing.
Or you're putting teams in that shouldn't be ranked that high.
Yeah, maybe that's so.
I mean, I'm all over the map with this top five. Usually, hey, this time last year, we knew exactly who the top five were. Sometimes it was like, we'll drop three down to four.
Right, exactly.
Now it's like, I feel like each week, I got a different set of five.
All right, let's go with five all the way up to number one, and I'll start. And this is where the Kansas City Chiefs are being placed. Now, I've been ignoring the Kansas City Chiefs all season, but they looked like Kansas City to me on Sunday night. They're 6-4. They lead an AFC West that is very, very tight. But, and again, this is like, Kansas City, here's your five, but you better do something good with it. If you go back to not scoring over 20 points a game, I'm going to get you right out of this list. But right now, they've won, three in a row? They really dominated that game. Five touchdowns for Patrick Mahomes. Dangerous? Yes. I'm putting them at five.
No, that's fair. That's fair. I might be talking about them in a little bit as well.
Okay.
But at number five for me, this is where I had the Bills. Okay. I'm chalking up, you know what, every once in a while you just have a bad day. And every once in a while, an entire team has a bad day collectively. They kind of feed off one another. And I think that's what happened last week. The Bills against the Jets, that's kind of the Bills that we knew.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
Josh Allen just throwing the ball, you know, moving that offense the way he wants to move that offense. That defense shutting a Jets team down. It's kind of helpful that they go from, you know, oh, we had a bad game against the Jaguars. How do we ever fix this? Then you get to play the Jets the following week to kind of figure out, all right, what went wrong, and let's shore that up. At least you weren't playing another high-profile team, which would have really maybe hurt you. But, you know, the Bills, I think, righted the ship, so they're at 5.
All right, number 4, and this team should be higher, and I'll tell you why they're not higher, and that's the Dallas Cowboys at 4. And the reason I'm putting them at 4 is this. They're 7-2, and I tell you right now, when they are clicking, they're as good as any team in this league, if not better. They might be the best offensive team in terms of the way they can score and the way they've got different ways of scoring. But losing Randy Gregory, and then you couple that with the fact that DeMarcus Lawrence was lost earlier this season, this team is going to lack a pass rush down the stretch. It doesn't hurt them against the Atlanta Falcons, but against some of these teams that are above them, I think you need that. So I'm putting them at 4, but I think they deserve to be higher because I haven't seen an offense like this since, I don't know, Kansas City. But they are really good. They score a lot of points. They are the number one scoring offense in the NFL. They run the ball great. They throw the ball great. Defensively, they're better than they were last year. They may not be one of the top units in the country in terms of the NFL, but right now I have them at 4.
Number 4 for me, this is where I had the Chiefs.
Okay.
I was extremely impressed. The record doesn't show that they belong in the top 5, but when they're firing on all cylinders like they were Sunday night, that's the Chiefs that we've known over the last 2 years. That's what makes the rest of the AFC scared, is that when Patrick Mahomes is clicking with Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, with whoever he has, this is an extremely, extremely dangerous team. And their defense showed up as well. They kind of stymied the Raiders. Now, albeit, you know, the Raiders might have came in flat because of all the drama that's been affecting their club over the last 3 weeks. But still, the Chiefs needed to show up. They needed a big win. They went out and got it. AFC is now on alert.
The AFC should be on alert. You're right. Because, again, think about Tampa Bay last year. Where were they around this time? Struggling, not looking all that awesome, but then they went off and won all those games to close out the season and then went on to the Super Bowl. None of these teams are you know, you can erase a lot of bad memories with a good stretch run down this stretch in the National Football League, and Kansas City might be primed for that. All right, number 3 on my list, and this is where I put the Buffalo Bills, and I think that win against the Jets, even though it's against the Jets, is indicative of what the Bills do, right? This was a team that at one time had the number one scoring offense and the number one scoring defense in the league. The Jacksonville loss changed that a little bit, even though they still have the number one scoring defense in the NFL. The offense has now lost that spot to Dallas. But again, this is a team that if you just erase that game, they put up points, they put them up fast, they slow you down, and they stop you. And I don't know on the hierarchy of where they're at in terms of the other teams on top of them, but right now, 3.
Number 3 for me, and I feel like it's almost like I'm punishing them for something that hasn't happened yet. I feel like, what was that movie with Tom Cruise? Minority Report.
Minority Report.
Where you arrest someone, you're arresting a criminal before he can actually commit the crime. And that's kind of how I feel why I have the Titans at number 3.
I gotcha.
There's no
reason.
I did that too.
I actually have the Titans at 3 crossed out.
Yeah, there's no reason for them to be at 3. They're much better than, I don't know if they're better than the teams I have above them. But I'm just waiting for the shoe to fall, the shoe to drop, whatever that phrase is.
I do not disagree with this at all.
This team can't keep winning, can they?
No, and I'm telling you, it's just common sense. It's not some sort of Tony D sort of thought process about Derrick Henry's absence. He's the best running back in the NFL. You don't just go, it's all good.
Yeah.
It's okay. Don't worry about it.
Who needs him? We'll just keep winning anyways.
If you can just win games without Derrick Henry, then why does anybody need a superstar running back ever?
Oh, this is hurting running backs all across the country.
If you can't show value to have the leading rusher and a runner like that, who's hard to bring down and has that extra level of speed, if Tennessee goes, it's fine, we don't need him, we never needed him, that's fine,
then what does that do to running backs
overall?
No, I guarantee
there's high school running backs today saying, I need to learn how to become a quarterback. I need to learn how to become a wide receiver.
Yeah, and
I'm not going to make any money in the NFL.
I just don't think that's the case. I think this team starts to suffer without Henry at some point.
They have to. It's
right. Again, they're not against Jacksonville or Houston, but against some of the better teams they might be playing.
Yeah, it's just logic.
Right, it's logic. I mean, exactly.
If your best player is down for the count, look, we saw with the Seahawks, their best player was down for the count. They didn't have a good backup. They couldn't do anything. Their best player is down. I mean, arguably one of the better players in the league, top five player in the league, is down, and they're still winning.
Right.
But I feel bad. I mean, you know, last week I think I had them at two. There's no reason to drop them. They won again. They're 8-2.
So that is why the Titans are two for me. Okay. So here's my analogy that I came up with. This is like your kid climbing a tree. You got a funny feeling like it's not going to end well. But he continues to climb the tree. He grabs on the branch. He pulls himself up. He walks a little bit over to the next branch. And you're just waiting underneath that tree to catch him when he falls because you know he's going to fall. But as of right now, he's still climbing that tree. Can I punish the Titans for still winning games for this? I mean, they just beat the Rams and the Saints.
Yeah.
In back-to-back games without Derrick Henry.
And
that's,
I know, the
six
Saints,
in a row.
And the Saints aren't a juggernaut team.
No, not
but
at all.
That's still a decent team.
So for me, keep climbing that tree until you fall. I think you're going to fall. But as long as you're climbing that tree, God bless you. So I put him at two.
I know. I should have kept him at two.
So, but I'm waiting underneath for them to go, whoops.
Yep. At number two for me, this is where I put the Cowboys.
Cowboys are good.
I was thoroughly impressed with the way they won that game. Against the Falcons.
Really,
I mean,
man.
It was just, I mean, it was the Cowboys that we saw at the beginning of the season that they can just do whatever they want, whenever they want. And I know it was against the Falcons, and the Falcons had a hilarious tweet, you know, that all they tweeted out after the game was, yeah, we know.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen,
you got to start feeling bad for the Falcons social media team at this point. But the Cowboys, I mean, I don't want to put them this high, but I have a feeling, like, hey, you know what? We're going to be talking about them all the way to the NFC Championship
game. They're
rolling.
They are rolling. I mean, that loss to the Broncos was really bad, but that's how you bounce back from those games and you win by 40 against the Atlanta Falcons, who weren't bad. I mean, the Falcons are not a great
team.
Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But they're not terrible, terrible.
No, that's not the Texans.
Yeah. They had won 3 of 4 going into that game, and the Cowboys dismantled them. Listen, I got to spend some time with my brother this week while we were down at our parents' house, and it was hard for me to tell my brother, Cowboys are good.
Yeah.
It really is. It's always hard for me to admit that. But I told him flat out, I said, you keep Dak Prescott healthy, you got a Super Bowl team. They really do. They're as good as any team that's in the NFL right now.
No, they are.
Without question.
They are. And you know, the parts that they're missing on defense when they come back, because they're not done for the season, when they come back, that's, you know, now you got a really electric team.
That's right. Number one, and this is where I put Green Bay.
Me too.
They're 8-2, you know what? They should be 9-1.
They should be.
Aaron Rodgers kind of, you know, did what he was supposed to do. And maybe played. They would have been 9-1. It is on the Packers to not have Jordan Love ready for that game against Kansas City. But in the end, you know, so
yeah.
What?
But then again, I mean, is it Kansas City?
Right.
You know,
exactly.
Did Kansas City actually show up? And would Kansas City have shown up anyways in that game?
Yep.
I had them as number one as well. It just shows you, you know, if Aaron Rodgers is the difference. See, this is what we were talking about with the Titans, that your best player is out, you lose. Your best player comes back, he plays with a chip on his shoulder and makes everyone aware, no, you guys, we are the best team in the NFL.
Yeah, Green Bay is at number one. We'll have the bottom five coming up next as we continue on Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, as we continue along, it is Wake Up Call SportsMap Radio. It is now time for the bottom five. You know, before we get to that, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. They're close, convenient, and known for guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. It feels like when we get to this time of year, right, that we go, all right, we're bunching up the bad teams, but we're sorting out. But sometimes I like to put teams in there that may not be one of the worst teams, but right now they're playing like crap.
Yeah.
Right? It's one thing to like sort of pick on like the Texans of the world, but sometimes I go, yeah, maybe you're really not the bottom five, but I'm putting you in there to have a little bit of fun.
Of course.
Keep a little bit of that when you hear this. Because my 28 team, that is the Seattle Seahawks. Okay, here's why I picked the Seattle Seahawks. It goes back to what I was saying yesterday. Russell Wilson, they were shut out, and Russell Wilson played terrible, and he didn't want to blame the finger. But then the flip side of not blaming the finger is, hey, Seahawks fans, this is what I gave you. A healthy Russell Wilson delivered that meal on a plate. That was awful. He was terrible. And so, you know what? I don't know what... If secretly we knew the finger was still really, really hurting, then fine. But that's not what they want to say. So, by the way, if that's your quarterback, that's your quarterback. He's not playing well. 28 is for you, Seattle.
That's respectable.
Yeah.
I feel bad for keeping this team in the bottom five. Especially after given the result they had last weekend. But I figured, you know, if I put them at the top, maybe that'll motivate them to get out. And that's the Lions.
Lions, I gotcha.
Just because I feel like there's other teams to have a little more fun with. But
right.
The Lions, for me, are 28. Hey, you didn't lose.
You did not lose.
That's all I can really say.
Yeah, I got the Lions at 29, so let's continue this conversation.
You didn't lose.
I think if you're the Lions, it's one thing to say, look, we almost won this game. We didn't lose. We tied this game. But I think even the Lions players, winless going into that, still should have been like, that's a crappy Pittsburgh team we just played. We should have won this going away.
And that's probably, right? I think that's why I kept them in the bottom five, is because, right, you know, you should have won that game. You should know better what the timeout or overtime rules are.
Yeah, completely.
I mean, that alone, like, you know, knowing that, you know, there is no second overtime, that a game can end in a tie. Still, we have NFL players who don't realize that, who forget that.
You got Mason Rudolph, who can't throw downfield. The Lions should have said, you know what? Screw it. We should have won this game.
Yeah, blitz the safeties.
That's right. Just tag him because he ain't throwing it.
Yeah.
You know?
But I feel like, at the same time, I feel like yeah, she's not been in the bottom five. But
yeah, I know. I'm with you. I want to celebrate the Lions, but at the same time, yeah. Feel like they let one get away. Because there's a celebratory moment for this team when they finally notch a win.
Number 29 for me, so I have the Falcons.
Falcons, okay.
Now, you know, piggybacking off of what you said with the Seahawks, that maybe they're not a bottom five team. There's probably teams, I guarantee there's teams worse than the Falcons. But you didn't even bother showing up against the Cowboys.
No,
you made the Cowboys look like, I mean, you know, they look like Alabama football going up against Samson. You know, it was ridiculous. I mean, the Falcons had nothing out there. And then the fact that they lose a couple players, they're reverting back to the way they were, 2 years ago when they had no one on defense?
Right,
except
exactly.
This time it's going to be on offense.
I got to be honest with you. I feel like Atlanta has these games all the time where they just get blown out.
Just
maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's just my perspective. But I'm like, sometimes I feel like, what are you doing?
No, right? I don't think you're wrong. I think
I'll have to look it up to see how many blowouts they've been in. But I feel like the Falcons are like, boy, that was a complete mess.
Yeah, I mean, last year, you know, famously, we know that they were in pretty much most of the games that they had. And in fact, you know, six or seven of the games, had the ball bounced the other way, they would have won. Type of thing. And I think literally one or two of them, if the ball bounced the other way, they would have won a game, like on last minute field goals.
Yeah.
But this one, I mean, it was a poor effort. It was just a horrible, horrible showing for him.
All right, 30 on my list is Jacksonville. This is something that you said last week, which I now am going to go through the whole season looking for. And you said last week, have we seen the really good Trevor Lawrence game? And we have not.
No.
We have not seen the really good Trevor Lawrence game that makes you go, that guy's great. Now, we think he's going to be great. Don't get me wrong. We still got a ways to go. But you would think by now you would have a quarterback that's like, hey, I got some of this. I may not have all of this, but I'm kind of used to this now. Like, he hasn't had that one moment. Now, again, I know it's apples to oranges in terms of comparing the team structure, but Mac Jones had like 3 touchdowns and no picks and looked brilliant and all of that. We saw Justin Herbert last year get it by this time. We were buzzing about him. I haven't seen Trevor Lawrence, and again, I understand he's with a team that's still really rebuilding, But I haven't seen him do anything spectacular. I mean, I saw Justin Fields do some good stuff.
Yeah.
I haven't seen him do really anything great.
Listen, I have the Jaguars at 30 as well. No, you're absolutely right. Trevor Lawrence has one game where he threw for 319
yards.
Yeah,
right. Exactly.
Right? That was the win over Miami in London. But he only threw one touchdown.
Yeah, that's it.
You know, he averages like one touchdown a game. If not, he has none. It's the very first game of the season. He went 28 of 51, 332 yards, three touchdowns, but three picks.
Yeah.
And they lost against Houston.
And he fumbles the ball. You know. So, again, I'm not saying he's a bad player. I don't want anybody to get the idea that I'm calling him a bust. I'm not. He still has a lot of seasoning to go. But is it wrong for me to say, hey, 10 games in, can we just see that you've got something to this NFL thing?
And is that
like
more,
it's been your life since the second you landed within the organization?
Yeah, I mean, you know, basically we've said it from the very beginning too. When you were a freshman in high school, we knew you were going to be in the NFL.
Right.
Now, is it more on the coaching? I don't want to play because some of it does rely on the player. The player's got to step up and actually start playing. But is it the coaching? Like they're not giving him the right plays to execute, or is it not the right offensive scheme for him? It's bizarre because we've seen it with everyone else. I mean, we do the same thing with Zach Wilson, and we're banishing Zach Wilson. Like, you know what? Just sit him for the rest of the season. We're not going to say that about Trevor, but at the same time, you know, we haven't seen that. I don't even think we've seen a dynamic play out of him.
Right. I completely agree. All right, 31, Jets.
Jets.
Boy, the Mike White, man, that stinks.
Kind of hope for it, didn't you?
Listen, I'm not going to lie. I was a Mike White fan. I thought his story was really cool. I'm going to be honest with you. I like stories like this where a player emerges as a star and we're looking him up on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Because we don't remember at all what he did in college. And we're like, where did he go to school? It could be anywhere. Found out it was Western Kentucky and South Florida. I was like, wow, how great is that? Look at him and his girlfriend have this nice apartment. They're all of a sudden getting love, and the New York media is just devouring him up. And they're just like, we love this kid.
Yep.
And then he throws four picks, and it's like, bye.
I'm hoping there's a bounce back game next
Me
week.
Me too. I really do. I hope so. Because Joe Flacco's not playing. He's going to sit around going, I got this. If you don't have it, I got it, until the other kid gets better.
I know. I'm hoping that because the best thing about that is, and I don't want Zach Wilson to be a waste of space, but I find it hilarious that Zach Wilson somehow, some way, and just a great marketing campaign by his people, was thrust to the number two quarterback. I still don't feel that he was number two, the second best overall quarterback coming out of last year's draft.
Yeah,
you know. I don't care what people say out of the pro days. Like, oh, look at him, the way he throws this, throws that. Yeah, but do it in a game. Yeah, he had one fantastic game.
Mike White had one game, and New York was ready to make him mayor.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? It's like, we love these stories, but we love them a little too much.
Right.
Sometimes we need to be the, well, we'll see how this is going to play.
And I love the anarchy that would create if Zach Wilson ends up being a bust for the New York Jets, who got rid of Sam Darnold and put all their chips in that basket. But I would want them to find a quarterback and say Mike White, somebody that they weren't looking for and was there all along. It's like that cheesy romantic comedy.
Yep, completely. All right, I think Houston is our 32nd
team. Yeah, what can you say? They didn't even play last week, and you didn't know that they didn't play last week.
They got Tennessee coming up this weekend. Yikes. But knowing this league, they'll win 31-17 or something like that.
No, they won't.
And will make us go, what?
No, man, I mean, this is a game. Listen, Tennessee will stay in our top five because they're gonna roll stomp all over the Texans, doing it without Derrick Henry. But it'll be a game that Derrick Henry probably wouldn't have played in anyways.
Yeah, what a mess the team is. Texans started the opening year with a victory and have not won since.
No, and they're historically bad at this point.
Absolutely. They're really
good. It's one thing to be losing on the field, but you're also losing off the field.
All right, coming up next, we're going to talk about the Cleveland Browns at 5-5. Scott Petrick's going to join us, the Chronicle Telegram. What exactly is going on there? Why didn't certain things work out? And is it fixable? Coming up next as we continue, it's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
You're
listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, let's go to the Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Scott Petrick's joining us, the Chronicle Telegram. Cleveland Browns at 5-5. How are you, Scott?
I'm good. How are you?
Glass half empty, glass half full. 5-5. I know the last game was bad, but overall, how many good parts outweigh some of the bad parts this season?
Yeah, I would go. I'd go half empty, and that's not the kind of guy I am. But the expectations were so high around here. I think the team is still immensely talented. So to be only 5-5. To not really have a great win. I mean, the win against the Bengals was good, but, you know, they've lost to a bunch of teams that they're competing for playoff spot in AFC with. So, I think it's been disappointing, and I don't have a ton of faith with 7 days left.
Let's set the stage for people so we get an idea. Last year, the big playoff run, making the playoffs. From the overall standpoint of fan bases who have sort of been waiting for a team like this to finally come to Cleveland, what was it like this offseason to look at this team from a different lens?
Yeah, it was a new experience. You know, I mean, there's been flashes before. 2018, they played pretty well when Baker Mayfield was a rookie, and then they traded for Odell Beckham Jr., and everybody thought 2019 would be great, and it wasn't. You know, 2007, they went 10-6 but missed the playoffs, and then they weren't good in 2008. So the fan base had seen a bunch of mirages before, and this felt real. And then Andrew Berry, the GM, overhauled the defense and brought in some big names and spent some money. So there's a lot of belief that this team would get back to the playoffs for sure, could win the division for the first time, might get to the AFC Championship. I mean, there was legitimate Super Bowl talk, which hasn't been around here in a long, long time. So that's why 5-5 feels like such a letdown.
In terms of some of the things that have not worked, Odell Beckham Jr. is probably the biggest one right now. Why didn't it work? What was some of the inside dynamics of that relationship?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of blame to go around there. First of all, Odell did not want to be here, and that started before this season. You know, he had asked for a trade going back to at least the offseason in multiple times. So that's hard when somebody doesn't want to be here, not be on a team. I thought Kevin Stefanski, the coach and play caller, needed to do a better job of getting the ball to Odell and getting him involved, and it didn't happen. You know, just watching that Monday night game, I know he only had two catches, but those are plays and routes that the Browns could have run easily. You know, you run a quick hook, you run a comeback, and they just, I didn't think, did enough of that with Odell. And then Baker didn't do a good enough job either hitting him when he was open. In Minnesota, he tried and missed him, and there should have been about three touchdowns. And then just overall didn't look his way enough, in my opinion. And then the last thing was, you know, Odell's not the best, most disciplined route runner, and I think that is a factor. When you're the quarterback and play caller, can you trust exactly where he's going to be? And I think the answer was no a lot of times.
It feels like the national media is looking at Baker Mayfield and just ready to pounce. They're just ready to attack. Is that what's going on locally? Is that the feeling around this quarterback as we get closer and closer and closer to where the real story is?
I would say locally, you know, people want him to succeed. Now, given that he's struggled throughout most of this season, and there's reasons for that. You know, he's been dealing with that torn labrum in the left shoulder and a fracture in the left shoulder, and now he's got a sore foot and a bruised knee. There's two camps. You know, I guess it's like anything in today's world. There's people that defend Baker no matter what, and there's people that criticize Baker no matter what. The big question is whether or not the Browns will commit, you know, long-term big money to Baker, you know, the kind of contract that Josh Allen got and we've seen across the league. And obviously the Browns have not done it yet. It feels less and less likely the deeper we get into the season and the more Baker Mayfield struggles. So that's the biggest question looming over the organization is Baker the guy? And then if not, what do you do at quarterback?
You mentioned that they obviously want him to succeed, but give us an idea from a fan perspective, because I know the business side of the football operations are going to deal with that differently. But from a fan perspective, how much does seeing quarterback after quarterback after quarterback after quarterback come through that you just go, please let this work. I can't keep going through this.
Yeah, that's a huge part of it. And I think it colors how you view Mayfield, right? Because he's better than whoever, Charlie Fry, Colt McCoy, sure. Brady Quinn. You know, you go through the list, Johnny Manziel, you go through the list. It's like, well, he's obviously better than all those guys. He's obviously won more than all those guys. And he helped change the culture, right? When they drafted him, they had gone 1-31 the 2 years previously. So all those things are huge positives in Baker Mayfield's favor, and that's why there's a segment of the fan base that says he's the guy, period. So, yeah, that plays a lot into it, and everybody's desperate. The organization's desperate for him to be the guy, but I think you do have to be careful not to anoint someone who's not the guy and pay him $40 million a year. And I'm not saying he's not deserving of it or that he won't be at some point. And, in fact, I thought they would have gotten a deal done before the season, and I thought it would have been the right move. But when it didn't happen before the season, and then there's struggles inside the season, then all these big-picture questions don't go away.
All right, we know that this is a running team, and that is what they do well. What are some things, that, though, on offense that are working outside of that, that are some positives, at least, for this team?
I mean, the offensive line's good, and, you know, that ties into the run game, obviously. Is a pass protection team, they're good. They struggle at right tackle because All-Pro Jack Conklin is on IR with a dislocated elbow. So Blake Hance is filling in for him and trying, but not doing particularly well. They have three tight ends that they use a ton, and they can throw to all of them, and they're usually pretty productive. David Njoku had a couple of drops on Sunday in New England, but has been good, entered Sunday leading the team in catches and receiving yards. And then Donovan Peoples-Jones, the receiver that will get more playing time because Odell's not here, has a lot of ability, a lot of promise. He looked really good in training camp. He usually catches. He dropped one the other day, but he usually catches the ball when you throw it his way, can get deep. So, you know, there's some pieces to like, but like you said, it starts with that run game. That drives everything with this offense.
Let's talk about Kevin Stefanski for a second, because this is an organization has gone through coach after coach after coach as well. But how has he made it work when others could not make it work?
Yeah, part of it's culture. He and general manager Andrew Berry are on the same page, and they know what they want in players, and they've done a good job collaborating to go find those types of players. I think Kevin Stefanski's incredibly smart, which helps, and it helps in the game planning. It helps just conveying your message to the team that they believe you because you make it sound like it's going to work. And he's even keel, and that really paid off last year during the crazy COVID season or the first COVID season, you know, not being able to be around his guys. And, you know, they'd be missing players, you know, periodically. They missed all those receivers in one game. He missed the Steelers playoff game, but everything kind of stayed on the same level. And it's being tested this year. This is the first real rough patch the last few weeks, you know, with the exception of that Cincinnati win, where there's been questions about Stefanski, questions about him as a play caller, questions about him leading the team. So he's going to need to rely on that even keel personality to get this team through these rough patches.
I think most people who've followed the league a long time, I mean, just kind of grown up watching football, know about the fan base and know how passionate they are in getting the team again in 1999. But this is a league that gives you every opportunity. They give you every helping aid to make sure you don't swim in the ocean of mediocrity. And yet that's where this team has been. How frustrating has it been to just go, I've seen other teams rise and fall and rise and fall, and yet it took 20 years for us to make a really decent playoff run?
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, the bane of the Browns fans' existence. It's all we talk about. It's how I spend my life dealing with talking to the fans and reading the fans and covering a team that there's no excuse for why they should be so bad so long. But I tell you, if you have the wrong coaches and the wrong quarterbacks and, you know, the wrong GMs, and I thought ownership was bad, the current owners, I thought they were bad early in their tenure. It seems like they've improved, but, you know, they have to show patience and consistency there too. That's how you do it. If you have bad coaching quarterback and bad talent evaluators, It's not that hard to lose in this league.
Absolutely. Again, Scott, appreciate your time. Thank you so much for helping us kind of look at this, look through the lens of what the Browns are going through. Again, 5-5, but it's kind of a lot of people thought that record would be slightly better at this point.
No, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. And it's not over for them, but the schedule gets a lot tougher. They're going to have to win a lot of division games to have a chance to get back to the playoffs.
You got it. Scott Petrick again, the Chronicle Telegram, helping us on the Cleveland Browns. Appreciate your time, my friend. Thank you so much. We'll catch up with you soon.
Sounds good. Thanks.
You got it. Again, on our Progressive guest line, quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new home quote explorer, only at progressive.com. You know, you talk to guys who played in the 80s, for example, under that old building, you know, that municipal stadium building, and how there wasn't a fan base you feared more than the Browns and the rabid dog pound. I mean, that place was loud. It was shaking. It was, you know, I remember, you know, all the time I spent in Denver talking to old Broncos, and they all talked about those classic playoff games and how just an impossible place sometimes to play. And that fan base was so passionate. And remember how that franchise was just taken from them in the 90s and moved to Baltimore. And, you know, and again, Baltimore lost its franchise too, right? I mean, fan bases are fan bases. They want their teams. And it's hard when a team relocates and you lose a part of you. And you know, Robert Irsay, again, what he did in Baltimore, Art Modell, what he did in Cleveland. But the NFL went, we're giving you this team again, and we're giving you this team and the history, and we're getting you to keep it. But there really isn't any reason, any excuse, why 20 years of existence as you finally make a decent run in the postseason. They had a run in 2002. They played the Steelers, and they lost to the Steelers in a playoff game. But that's it. And that's it. There was no rise, fall. It was always getting beat, always struggling with quarterbacks, always struggling with coaches for two decades. Right. We talk about how awesome the Patriots are. We talk about how unique that is to see the Patriots win and win consistently and quarterback and coach and doing it together. But a whole roster that keeps constantly changing, but the results remain the same. They're the top team in the AFC, always Super Bowl favorites. And even when they don't go, you really have to beat them to you got to knock them off their throne. But the same can be said about a team that swims in mediocrity for 20 years, too. Because that really shouldn't happen. That if you're a halfway decent owner that's paying attention, you should be finding the right people to run your franchise. And the league goes, here are draft picks. Here's a slightly easier schedule based on the flexible games outside the ones you're committed to. We give you opportunities to be better. And they can't. There's a salary cap. You can compete financially with anybody else in this league for free agents. It's up to you to make all of these tools work. And for 20 years, they didn't make that work. Forever, they didn't make that work. And if I was a fan of that team, I'd be frustrated. Because there was really no excuse to watch a Houston Texans team, for example, come in 2002 and make playoff run after playoff run in those years, right? Go into the postseason, right? To see teams that were really bad, but then be really good, then be bad again, then be really good. And the Browns were just like, nah, bad. Right? There's no reason for that. And then for them to get a taste of success where you felt like, hey, man, look at this Cleveland team, man. They're dangerous. They're going to be dangerous next year. They got some moxie. They got some confidence. They came to Kansas City in the postseason, lost, but you feel good about them. For them to lose the games, I think this was critical of what he said. They're losing the games against better teams, but they're beating the teams they should beat. They're beating the Texans. They're beating the Bears. They beat the Broncos. Yeah, they beat the Bengals that were good, but the Bengals are probably about equal to them. But they're losing to the Chargers. They're losing to the Chiefs. They're losing to Arizona. They're losing to Pittsburgh, and they're losing to New England. And those are the playoff teams. And when it comes to tiebreakers and how it all works out, these aren't the games you need to lose. So, that's kind of a struggle. All right, we'll come back, wrap up this hour, get you set for Denton Day next on Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, Denton Day is coming up next. Thanks to Scott Petrick in Ohio to help us kind of break down the Browns. You know, I have a friend of mine who's a Browns fan, and he's so passionate about the Browns, you know, and I love him for it.
It's got to be hard.
We have our fun Steeler-Brown moment, but he said to me, this ain't fun. Like, my team stinks. And now they were good, and I sent him I said, hey, your Browns are good. Like, they're really good, that, you know, last year.
So you brought up something, and you know, like you Scott was saying in our last segment there, that the Browns are winning the games they should. They're losing against the teams that they, you know, that are the playoff teams.
Right.
And you brought up the Bengals, right? The Bengals somehow, some way, were able to turn this thing around very quickly. And that's got to sting for the Browns.
Absolutely. That's the whole point, right, is this whole idea, like, really, think about 1999 up, and I know a lot of those years are going to be filled with Patriots dominance.
Yeah.
But kind of go through teams
You're just talking playoffs. You're not talking Super Bowl.
No, we're talking championships. We're just talking about making playoff runs and then getting back to the drawing board and then making another run. And, like, think about all the teams that have gone, like, how many teams, you know, the Giants have won 2 Super Bowls during that stretch, and the Steelers have won 2 Super Bowls and been to 3, and the Packers, you know, went to a Super Bowl in the late 90s, not quite ready with the Browns, but with Green Bay, and then...
Packers, Bears, the Packers, Cardinals. The Packers,
right, they all had these, and the Browns just never found a way to be part of that party at all. And like I told them, from a fan perspective... Yeah, the Browns are going to do with Baker Mayfield what they're going to do with analytics and figuring out his whatever he is. But if you're a Browns fan, imagine being in bad relationship after bad relationship, and then you finally are in one that's okay, and you're just desperate to make it work, right? You're just dying to be like, can I just hang on to this relationship for a little bit? Because that's the way they've been with quarterbacks, and they finally got one that's okay, needs some work, but do they commit $40 million a year to him? I don't know. It's got to be frustrating.